This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Business Success Tips. For tonight, we're going to talk about that ever-popular subject of social media and how it can run your life, run your business, destroy your business, or maybe even have some fun.
Destroy your life.
Destroy your life.
Run your life. That, to me, is destroying your life. That's, it runs my life. And that's exactly why I bailed out of Twitter and Facebook for a while, because it was running my freaking life.
True. It is an addiction. It is a drug.
It's a Freudian slip.
It is a drug.
So, Zuckerberg, you know, have you guys seen The Social Network, the movie?
Not yet.
And you might explain to the listeners.
I basically just went through the whole plot with JC and Paul.
It saves me money, really.
Explain to our listeners who Zuckerberg is. They probably don't know.
So Zuckerberg is the youngest billionaire in the world. And when he was at Harvard...
If you're listening, we can be friends, Zuckerberg.
That's right.
Yeah. Have you noticed it's Harvard and Stanford, you know, and MIT?
The common thread happens to be some smart...
That's right.
But anyway, he and his roommate, who funded his operation, basically created the Facebook, it was originally called, out of their Harvard dorm room. And it was originally just for Harvard, and then it became for other schools. Mm-hmm. And then Sean Parker of Napster was the guy who said, hey, you know, just take it down to just Facebook. And, you know, by the way, I'm going to come in and help you make this thing big, the $1 billion it's worth.
Although I feel good for the Napster guy, since he didn't make any money on his thing.
The only downside is he got thrown in jail for and out of the company for getting caught with coke. But up until then, it was going pretty well for him.
I see.
Yeah. It's very DeLorean of him.
Yes.
That's right.
So. But, you know, it's interesting, though, that he was always on in the movie, the guy who plays Zuckerberg. He, you know, whether he's at a deposition or he's in a nightclub, he's in front of his computer. So, you know, talk about social media.
Who's that like?
He's super antisocial, but he's head of the, you know, founder of the largest social network site ever.
The movie portrays him as not having the greatest social skills,
you know,
but clearly a brilliant developer.
But see, that's usually developer. Who makes it. It's not the social people who make social.
And the social guy that jumped in was Sean Parker. Sean Parker, Mr. Social, Mr.
Yeah.
San Francisco nightclubs, you know, you name
cocaine.
It.
Cocaine. Having a good time.
So really, really interesting story. But anyway, we digress.
You digress. So watch the movie. It's called
The Social Network.
If you want to digress any further,
yes. I did hear about the funniest, you know, dating site I've ever heard of, made by Canadians. Go figure.
That alone is funny.
It's called uglyschmuck.com, and it's literally a dating site for ugly people.
Is it for ugly guys that want hot women?
No, it's like for ugly people. It's like for ugly guys and ugly girls to have a place. Because evidently, you know, the other ones are too about looks or something. So this Canadian guy came up with uglyschmuck.com.
Good call.
That could also be good for, like, I know there's some women that are into, like, the ugly actors in Hollywood. Like, yeah. Steve Buscemi. Like, they like sexy ugly. I don't know. It's like, no, seriously, I hear this. It's like, maybe they control
guy,
this.
Right?
They control that site.
And they interviewed some lady who was on it, you know, and they're like, why would you do, you know, because I don't care about looks and I just want inner beauty. And I'm like, if you were hot, you wouldn't be saying
that. That's right.
You know, I mean, come on.
Well, that's true. They have the disabled one too, disabled people fighting too.
That's true.
Be nice.
What? Yeah. Socially challenged. I know it's got to be like a Facebook for every minority or every group or whatever.
God. You know, this usually happens about the beginning of the second podcast.
Yeah. We should cut Paul off on the wine.
I think it makes perfect sense.
Politically,
I mean, he was a part of the beautiful people.
I just wanted to differentiate myself from all previous comments made by Paul.
Yeah, I just always do that. I don't know.
So let's talk about blogging.
Okay.
All right. Now, let's hack on the Special Olympics. Come on. You got it left in ya.
You know, it's funny because we try to watch the Special Olympics and, you know, he'll be sitting on the couch like, I could do that way better.
That's right.
I could kick all their asses.
I could run 4 miles
well,
a day.
Now, what's politically right? Is it disadvantage? There's always some new word for it.
You should really not just go anywhere near that.
I mean, he sucked me down a rat hole the other week and I ended up saying stuff that came out wrong.
He does that.
You know, it's like,
so, blogging.
It's like the politician who, I didn't mean that. You people misunderstood.
Well, you already got us in trouble for the big one that got rid of everybody else.
What? No, really, you just need to just...
Huh?
No, remember...
Can somebody turn his mic off?
No, unfortunately, it's only one of my
shared mic. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying the faux pas that caused a lot of the podcast to be lost.
Oh, that was
your faux pas. Wow.
I believe that was probably the other person involved more than Steve.
Fine.
Seemed funny at the
How
time.
About blogging?
Anyway, switching topics quickly.
So, our audience, you guys... You got to blog. You know, it's one of the interesting things about blogging is like anything else, it becomes a habit, right? And when you first set out to blog, you're thinking, well, I'm not a writer. This isn't my gig. I don't have time. But blogging and website leads are directly correlated. And the best way to blog is just to start writing. Don't worry about it. It doesn't have to be the perfect work of art. It doesn't have to be a very long article. But a few... blogging tips of interest in terms of how to really attract traffic to your blog that I kind of stumbled across by mistake. And once I realized that my mistake was a good one, I kind of thought, well, maybe I should make this more of a habit. But anyway, when you blog, you want to blog about something that's very high profile and relevant, because the more high profile and relevant it is,
like a sex person and money. Or a company, or
yeah, you might want to if you're in the specific industry and there's a high flying startup in your industry, maybe blog about them and maybe just, you know, throw in a few flattering comments about them, and they may end actually end up commenting on your blog.
I have to take an issue with that. Not the part about picking high profile, but pandering to them.
I wouldn't say pandering.
What's wrong with pandering?
Don't make nice comments. Be honest. As a blogger, okay. You should be honest.
Well, okay,
because I want to build
that.
Trust.
I'm an honest guy.
No, I'm not questioning your honesty. I'm just saying that don't say nice things about them unless you really truly
believe. Well, there's a point. Even Chevron has
nice
good
things
about
them.
I don't care.
Jesus, you and the Chevron thing. Well, what do you want to say about BP? You got any nice things to say about them?
Hey, Bruce and Charlie, you see the new ad? They're helping everybody. Go ahead.
Sean, no, point well taken. No, don't come up with artificially positive things to say, but you're right. If you truly believe something's good about this company, come out and say it.
Every company has something good to say about them.
BP was...
Paul's spinning this differently. Paul's like, if they're the most evil company, find the one good thing they're doing.
Absolutely.
Talk
about it, and they'll spread it all over the universe.
But although there is actually value in that, if it's true that it's good, then you are doing the contrarian thing, and what you're doing is, well, you're putting a target on your ass, but you're going to make yourself popular through controversy, which is another way to get yourself noticed.
Well, and here's this:
if you're willing to put your flak jacket.
And let me
on.
Give you an interesting case in minor controversy.
Hard to buy those.
So, MediaFunnel, which we talked about in previous episodes, one of our features is editorial control, right? And David Meerman Scott, who's the author of The New Rules of Marketing, PR and Marketing, and Marketing Lessons from the Grateful Dead, which we talked about, he's adamantly against any form of social media control. On a post-by-post basis. He thinks you should have social media policies within a company that stipulate what you as an employee should say or not say on your personal social media channels about the company or on the company's social media channels about the company.
How do you enforce that?
I've interviewed David Meerman Scott on my show and things like that. The thing about that, though, is David Meerman Scott does not have a board of directors or shareholders to be accountable to.
But it's easy for
him to say that.
But hang on.
So
I wrote this article, and I wrote an article saying, you know, this in some ways is negative about one of our key features, okay? So I wrote an article or a blog post 2 days ago, and I titled it Social Media and Business, Should It Be Controlled? And so it was basically point counterpoint, and I opened with David Meerman Scott's perspective of let it flow, don't try to control it, try to control it through policy, but not on a post-by-post basis. So I wrote that. I wasn't thinking about David Meerman Scott, anything beyond his input.
But you did mention his name.
I did mention his name.
Very nice.
I was not pandering to him. I just happened to mention him as one viewpoint. And then I went to the next viewpoint about why certain companies want to have an editorial control layer. And I cited several of our customers and why specifically they have specific controls.
Because people cannot be trusted.
On social media, right? Okay. And that's what I did. I posted, I thought, okay, well, this is good because I'm kind of giving, you know, the pros
point,
and cons of something we do, right? And then I wake up this morning and I look at my email, and the first thing is approve this comment, and it's David Meerman Scott commenting
on
my post.
That's nice.
But that was not my intention.
Good to know he has a lot going on.
So the way I set the stage, you're probably thinking, oh, Steve, you plotted this. That was not my intention at all. So
but you're talking about how to plot this, because if you mention people that are famous or companies that are famous, you're more likely to get it viral than if you talk about something else.
Ironically, even though I've sort of been in that mindset, I didn't think about that when I wrote this poem.
That's cool. Yeah. Well, the reason this works, and this is really ingenious, I do get this, is because everybody's got the ego Google alert going for their company, for relevant keywords in their industry. Oh, and by the way, if you're listening to this and you don't know what I'm talking about, you're missing out. You need to make sure that you know you can, well, we won't not control the conversations, but know about the conversations that are
happening.
Explain what
Google alert is in case you don't.
It's basically Google Alerts is lets you, whenever anything's mentioned on the web that Google's indexing a certain keyword phrase that, you know, your name, your company name, things that are important terms in your industry, whatever, what have you, it sends you an email and alerts you, hey, this was mentioned, and gives you the link. Basically, it pushes it to you. So by email. And this comes under the banner of reputation management.
Right. And so anybody can sign up for that at Google, right?
Yeah. It's just like part of your Google profile thing, or you can just sign up and create as many alerts as you
want. It's all free.
And then unsubscribe from them in one click and so forth, all free. And you should be doing this for everything. So let's just say that you're a carpenter and you're, you know, whatever it is, your competitors, your suppliers, your company name, your personal name, if you're somebody that's blogging, as Steve is talking about, you know, anything, if you're putting things out there on the web, regardless of whatever your industry is, you should be, you know, putting in the keywords that are relevant.
Now, it can also be used, I have, for example, if you are a contractor and you're soliciting architects for business, you can put your architect's name under Google Alerts. And then anytime they do something that matters, it'll come up and you can call them and say, congratulations on your award for the best design in Sunset, blah, blah, blah.
That's great. So partners, you know, competitors, you should be Google alerting anything that you really want to know about in real time, because I'll tell you, man, it catches you so quick.
And by the way, don't be afraid to reference your competitor in your blog posts. I did that recently.
My initial reaction
was, oh my God, this is horrible. I'm going to be driving people to my competitor sites. Well, you know, the net result was I probably ended up with more leads because I had kind of a balanced blog post.
Also, and no offense, because you guys have a great product, but you're not the leader in that industry. You have a big competitor. When you're the little guy and you mention the bigger guy, it makes more sense than the vice versa.
That's true, yeah.
You know, you wouldn't do it the other way around.
They suck.
Yeah, well, you guys are the best.
They are the best. Yeah. Forget the rest. All the way.
No, but Sean, you bring up a good point. So if you're the underdog, then bringing up
the big dog in your business,
you take the fight to their house. You say, big dog, what?
You're not even taking a fight to them. You're just referencing them because you're right.
Well, there's a halo effect. Let's say a company like Hootsuite or somebody.
Yeah.
For example.
Ooh, you're throwing down names, big boy. Yeah.
And, they're bigger.
Wait, let's give a little backdrop here, just so people know why what Steve is saying is relevant and why this is a good idea, is because Steve and Andreas and Paul are all part of this, and I guess you too, JC. Everybody here except me is part of this company called Media Funnel, and this is a company that's about social media management for organizations.
About a better life, Sean.
And in case you didn't know that, you might be wondering why the hell Steve is blogging about this. That's why it's relevant. So you should be doing the same thing. So continue. What were you going
to
say?
Because he wants to sell it for lots of money.
No, because he wants to...
Seeing the social network, the funny thing about the social network, so Zuckerberg ends up being the youngest billionaire in the history of the planet, right?
Bastard. Excuse me.
But he didn't give a shit about money. He just gave a shit about creating a really cool product, right?
And that's why Steve is going to make it.
Making a lot of money, the end game, probably isn't the right strategy. Probably the right strategy is creating a killer product. No, he does now. But when he founded Oracle, he was probably really... His main goal was probably to create a killer database platform.
Well, you notice
Andreas has
that bug.
Yeah.
Because he's all about, like, making the best thing ever. And I'm sure that, he doesn't, like... He's not about the money, but, like, he's much more about, like, I'm going to make, this thing crazy good. And,
The visionaries and the technicians in the company better be about that, or otherwise it's going to suck.
Yeah, right. If you're just focused on the almighty dollar...
Trust me, you can tell by Steve, he's not about money. He's about...
So the point is, if you mention Hootsuite, which is a larger competitor than ours, but we are catching up too rapidly and have a much better product than... If you mention that, then you have the halo effect. Say, you're putting yourself in the exact same category as the person who may be larger or bigger than you.
Because you've been mentioned with them in the same
sentence.
Right,
in the same sentence.
And the disadvantage to mentioning your bigger competitor is outweighed by the fact that you're providing a good informational piece to your readers.
Right? And then also people look at you as a choice if they're going, well, I can choose product A or product B, and they're both going to be the same. Then even though, you know, one, say, is a $20 million company, one is a $2 million company, they're not going to care about it. They're going to look at the product.
But the goal of writing a blog post is not someone reads the blog post and instantly they want to buy your product. The goal to writing good content is to drive people to your site so that the calls to action on your site
take them to the next level. You're researching things and you're helping them.
It's all about traffic.
The information they want.
Right. Yeah. It's all about conversion.
Although
traffic and conversion. But you can't get conversion if you don't have traffic.
Right.
Right.
If the Hootsuite executives are listening, the media funnel executives call you out to a cage match to solve this once and for all. And if you guys aren't too chicken, you should take us up on that.
Boy, oh boy.
That's right.
Okay. I don't even have to say anything.
That's
you just got it covered.
What, Hootsuite? You're scared. You're scared little girls. Come out of your ivory tower and
please
fight.
Please don't insult the little girl contingent of our audience.
That's true.
It's true.
You can all, you've also had it work with the other company, HubSpot, right?
Yeah, and that again was unintentional. So I got back and I had this idea when I walked out of their office. We talked about this in a previous podcast. I walked out of the office and I had this idea that I just walked out of the next Salesforce.com and I just wrote what I thought. I had no ulterior motive. And then my first comment was from a HubSpot employee.
But
that
see,
said,
that's because you're genuinely a fan.
Hold on a second. What did you say, Steve? Your first comment was what?
My first comment was that I had no agenda when I
was from a HubSpot
employee.
One of the major employees at HubSpot.
Who said, flattery will get you everywhere.
But you know what?
And I wasn't really...
So you're just kissing ass all over the internet.
But he got a whole bunch of hits.
I'm teasing Steve.
But he got a bunch of hits.
But you know what? HubSpot's our boys. They're all right.
They are.
We like HubSpot.
They're good homies.
Good folk
they're
there
really
at
home. Homies.
Good folk at HubSpot.
They are. I like them.
Yeah.
So that way, if you flatter somebody who has a huge following, in the old days, you'd have to sort of hang around the party with them. Now you just have to put them on your blog, and you get the halo effect of being associated with people that are going someplace.
But I don't want to create a monster here by saying go in with the intention of flattering them.
What?
Go in with the intention of writing about them.
Well, you have.
Don't you think you would draw just as many comments from these companies if you said something that challenged them?
No.
Wouldn't they feel compelled to defend themselves? Because one of my friends wrote a disparaging blog post about HubSpot, and it got commented to death by HubSpot employees, other people.
Let's broaden this then. Have an intelligent conversation about them that takes a position, preferably one that's in the extreme.
Right.
Well, I would say that. As long as you're speaking from your heart and your true opinion, whether it's positive or negative, it's going to have the effect.
Right.
Because you're being real.
But in some ways, what Sean is saying, if you create more controversy by saying something that is not flattering, maybe you'll actually drive more.
Well, vanilla never pissed anybody
That's
off.
True.
It could be like Rocky Road or something.
Never got you much attention either. So, and there's a couple things they could sign up for. We have a blog called Business Success Feeds, right?
That's an RSS feed. That's not a blog.
It's a Facebook page.
Yeah.
And it's an RSS feed.
Okay, but
there's many blogs.
But if they subscribe to Business Success Feeds, they'll get a bunch of blogs.
What the hell are you guys talking
about?
Okay,
here's what I did. I took a bunch of RSS feeds and I Yahoo piped them through to a single feed.
Yeah, it's pretty ingenious.
And then I fed them into a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Huh.
So
I didn't know about this.
So if you get business,
I'm looking at it right now.
So you get business success.
Yeah, we have
feeds.
One follower.
No,
one fan.
We keep you out of the loop. Sometimes.
We have one more. I like it.
So sign up for this. It will give you all kinds of great information for free.
Business success feeds.
Right.
Just search for it in your Facebook.
Yeah, I had this wild ass idea one day of aggregating through Yahoo Pipes, and
thought
we got a gajillion fans.
I love it. I used Yahoo Pipes for SEM's blog feeds to create a master SEM feed.
Oh, okay.
It was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Piped it into
the newsletter
nice pipes.
And had nice pipes.
Yeah. Nice pipes on that Yahoo.
Yeah.
So there's some. They'll give you ongoing blogging advice.
Ongoing blogging advice,
which is true, and it works. So you have any other brilliant blogging advice?
Yeah, I do, actually. So one of the aforementioned HubSpot employees who's their head of marketing. Oh, no, he didn't write it. Someone else wrote it. But there's a blog post on the HubSpot site called 7 Things You're... This is going to sound really trite. but seven things your blog post sidebar can't live without. And what this is a guide to putting the right widgets on your sidebar to make sure that people subscribe, see your popular posts,
take calls to action. So what are those seven things?
You're going to have to read it.
Okay, I'm going to read it. So first one is option to subscribe.
Oh, yeah, well, that's
okay. No-brainer.
Spice it up.
But not just to subscribe via email, to follow you on Twitter, to become a fan on Facebook.
All the books. Oh, yeah, all the books.
Well, you don't want to go overboard, because one of the things I've learned is if you throw a dozen buttons, people aren't going to click on any of them.
That's so, why I can't have them follow my uglyschmuck.com.
No. So the usual suspects are email, RSS, Twitter, and Facebook, right? And then the next thing is to have a list of your blog categories so people can find your earlier content.
Makes it easy.
And then two lists, your most popular posts. If you're a WordPress user, there are several nice plugins for harvesting your most popular posts and displaying them. Your recent posts, so those are two distinct things. A search box, which I'm not sure. I think
is that a plugin to like most, but like well, WordPress.
You know, for WordPress, these are all easy plugins. And then, but the biggie is calls to action. One tip, which is really good, is they say have a context relevant call to action at the bottom of your blog post. So in this case, these guys, this blog post is about blogging, right? It's like self referential. But
is that a word, self referential?
I think
yes,
so.
It is. Oh. It is now.
So at the bottom, there's a call to action to download a webinar on blogging for business. So what HubSpot is doing, eating their own caviar, is they're creating context-sensitive
like
calls to action.
Than caviar.
You would, wouldn't you?
But anyway, that's the key one, is getting a good call to action in the post.
Right. And it's about conversion. Would you like to explain conversion, which is the new cool thing?
Yeah, so conversion... and there's a new acronym, which is...
Yeah, active converting.
What is the new acronym called?
Hallelujah! I'm saved!
CRO. Conversion
not
Rate Optimization.
Not
C-R-O,
SEO, not CRM, okay. But what is SE?
CRO. Conversion Rate Optimization.
Talking about water cooler tomorrow.
But, this is one of these counterintuitive things, right? So most people would think that The call to action that's going to be most effective is if there's something right in the page that you're on that asks you to fill in a form or do something. Well, ironically, it's better to have a call to action with a graphic that says download a white paper, download a free something, but you're actually directing them to another page. And within that page,
a landing page
that has some more information about the offer.
Nice.
And it's a very bare page, so they don't get distracted. Nice. They don't want to navigate away.
Have more sex now. Click here.
Something like that. That'll work. And so having this, so directing people with a call to action button with a free offer of something going to a nicely designed but fairly sparse landing page is the most effective way. And I've proven that. I mean, I did exactly what these guys said.
And it worked.
And it freaking worked. It's unbelievable.
And he's been getting leads and actually making money from this process.
Leads through this process.
And converting those leads into business.
Yeah.
And Could you give us an example of how successful you've been converting a lead?
How successful?
What I can
tell you is that our conversion rate has more than doubled since we changed the methodology.
But you don't have to mention names, but you actually got a client from this, right?
We've gotten several clients.
Many.
Yeah.
Many clients.
I wouldn't say many, I would say...
Too numerous to mention.
A handful in the last few weeks.
So here it is. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the holy grail. This is blogging for free, getting leads, pumping up your site, drawing inbound marketing traffic, and then converting them. And this is the person who's right here doing it.
Don't say you're never watching it, people.
It can happen.
And the trick is to listen to the experts. Like the guys at HubSpot do exactly what they tell you to do. Don't think you know, because I thought I knew better, right? I thought, it's much better to try to track them.
So listen to people smarter than you. Gee, what a great concept.
Can you listen to them for free or do you have to pay for their service?
Well, we talked about this in a previous podcast where if you sign up for a 7-day trial and you've got the time, you can garner some information. My advice at the time, of course, is if you're a small business with no website, just go for the whole freaking thing for $3,000 a year. It's a no-brainer because you're going to get an amazing education and a website and ongoing coaching. So if you're a million to $3 million company, just put your whole site on there.
And HubSpot's not even paying us.
But call Steve to sign up.
Yeah.
Yes.
I am. I mean, in full disclosure, I will become a partner at some point, but I'm not making any money off of their product at this point.
He's doing it for the love of the game.
So
that's right. But though the advice is free, I mean, you can get, for example, you go to website grader. There's a lot of
It's all in one place. It's all consolidated advice. All the key components to being found on the internet are in one place. That is the secret sauce.
That's super valuable.
Yeah,
because it takes a lot of time. Yeah.
And it does what you're.
I should be in a late night infomercial.
Yes, right? And it does where you've actually made money.
Man, that'd be
from
a funny. We should do a video for your site that's like a late night infomercial.
There you go.
That'd be fun.
Well, this has been chock full of good information.
It is, and they should blog. Blog.
To this episode a few times.
I am fired up. I'm going to start blogging and converting my leads. Is CRO, conversion return optimization? What is it?
Conversion rate optimization.
Conversion rate optimization.
CRO, how many people that hit your site actually turn into leads?
It's the last 5 yards, right?
I have one. I'm going to fire off one last tip before we close here, which is that on the SEO side, if you're using WordPress, which a lot of people are going to be, Yoast.com,
yeah.
Which is Juiced, I guess, is how he actually...
Yeah, Juiced is the spelling.
No, that's the spelling. Yoast is how he says. I always confuse that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, he's a WordPress plugin developer, and he's got a new SEO plugin that is pretty kick-ass. It's in beta, but it's already pretty stable. But
better than all-in-one SEO?
Yeah, just go to Yoast.com, Yoast.com, and you'll find it on there.
How much does it cost?
It's free. And it does everything. Like, it does post titles and meta descriptions, robots meta configuration, breadcrumbs, permalink cleanup, XML sitemaps, all the stuff that you would care about for your SEO, but it's under one roof.
Nice.
And you can actually even somebody that writes, people who do SEO plugins tend to maybe bop around between them as better ones come out, or people up each other's upstage each other in versions.
Always an arms race.
There's an arms race. Well, there's somebody that writes a metadata conversion utility to let you migrate from different ones. And that person, whatever that plugin is supporting his. So if you're already using another SEO plugin for WordPress, you can migrate to Yoast's.
Okay.
If you know what any of that means.
I have no idea what the hell you just said. Yeah. But it sounds really interesting.
Hey, make your blog findable on the internet. Tool to help you with a little plugin that
it
works pretty automagically helping you. That's basically what it does. So
it's free.
Check it out. It's free. All right. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye, everyone.
And there it is, another episode of Business Success Tips. Thanks as always for joining us. You can check out our website online at businesssuccesstips.org. Send us an email at friends@businesssuccesstips.org, or if you're a Twitter stalker, find us at twitter.com/BST podcast. Thanks. We'll see you next time.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.
Hey, this is Sean Daly, host of Green Talk Radio. Green Talk helps you navigate the maze of green and eco products on the market today and make smarter lifestyle choices at home and at work through informative and entertaining interviews with industry authors and experts, as well as executives from innovative companies around the world. Find Green Talk Radio on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. Green Talk Radio, environmental stewardship through smart consumption.